It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Here we go.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Friday edition of Overtime, final hour of the week, and a big opportunity to win big now on the show. It's the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. What's up for grabs today? An Uncle Ed's gift certificate and so much more, including an opportunity to go to tomorrow's Minnesota Twins game against the Detroit Tigers. I got a four-pack of tickets up for grabs. I got Damian. I got Matt on the line. Damian, our caller number one, he joins us now. He has taken List A as his route of choice, possibly a route to success here on the show. It is time for today's edition of the High Noon Showdown. It's always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats.
Put them up.
Are you out of your mind? Because we could go to war. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
It doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually.
It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
The High Noon Showdown is brought to you by the tasty meats and the tasty treats at the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. You can elevate your grill game at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. Damian on line number one, he's up to bat first. Let's talk Twins. Damian, a jersey number for possibly the best Minnesota Twin on the roster. What jersey number does pitcher Joe Ryan wear? What do you think, Damian?
Oh, geez. I'll just guess and say 28.
28. Not too shabby, not too close either. Joe Ryan wears number 41. Back on hold you go, Damian. We'll see if Matt can one-up you here. Matt, welcome into the show. I need a jersey number for twin star, budding star, Royce Lewis. What jersey number does he wear?
Royce is wearing...
Need an answer from you
now.
Not number five. He wears number 23. Matt, your second question is this. You got to know your college football on this show, and I'm not just talking about the Jacks and the Yotes. I'm talking about the big boys at the FBS level as well. Top 25 team is got this quarterback on the roster. What college does DJ Lagway? He's a quarterback. Where does he play his college football this year?
He is playing at Florida Gators.
That is correct. He is a Florida Gator. Chomp, chomp, my friend. Back over to line number one we go for Damian. Damian, this school had a pretty good finish to last year, and the quarterback's name is Maddox Madsen. Maddox Madsen, where does he play? I gave you a little courtesy clue there with a strong finish. What do you think? I need an answer from you, Damian.
Northwestern.
They did not play good football last year. How about the Boise State Broncos? That's where Maddox Madsen calls home right now. Lastly here for you, Damian, you got to get this right to stay in the game, although Matt might stub your toe in just a moment. Give me the mascot, the team nickname of Texas Tech University. What do you think, Damian?
The Red Raiders, right?
Red Raiders is correct. You're in the game, Damian. We'll see if Matt can slam the door on you here. Matt, welcome back into the show. Finish the job here for us, Matt. Possibly give me the mascot team nickname of the SMU football team. What do you think? SMU, Matt. I'll get an answer from you.
Mustangs?
That is correct, and Matt's our big winner today of the High Noon Showdown. That's right, SMU and Boise State, we mentioned them. Pretty strong programs last year. Matt, I got your info. I got your Twins tickets on the way here soon. Congratulations, my friend. Have a great final weekend of the summer.
Thanks, you too.
All right, Matt, a big winner today with the High Noon Showdown. As always, Twins tickets are electronic. That is not our choice. That is the choice of Major League Baseball. So when you call in to win Twins tickets, make sure you got an MLB.com account set up, and I'll get those transferred to you if you're our lucky winner. Matt, a little bit better today than Damian. He's our big winner of today's High Noon Showdown. And let's go ahead and dive into the tiebreaker here, too, because I work hard on these, and I'm not going to waste the brain power by not putting it out into the airwaves and to you at your car or radio. Let's talk now about the tiebreaker. Texas begins the year at number one in the Associated Press Top 25. How many claimed, I don't really understand the difference between claimed and unclaimed, but how many claimed national titles does the Longhorn football program have? Think about this, because for me, I know definitively in my lifetime that Texas has won one time with Vince Young, a.k.a. the best game ever. Battle of the Titans, Vince Young as good as they come in that ball game. Scamper late to beat the Trojans and Pete Carroll. Texas has four claimed national titles, 1963, 69, 70, and 2005. They have five unclaimed national titles. Those are way, way older. Back then, there were several different ways that you could claim titles. If you went undefeated, if you beat all the teams in front of you, or maybe your loss was to somebody that was also pretty good. It's pretty ambiguous back then in terms of figuring out who was the national champion, how it was sorted out, what poll said you were the best team in the country. A little bit more definitive in black and white now, unless you're UCF a couple years ago. You pretty much know if you're a national title winner or not. Texas has four claimed national titles. Let's dive right in to your headlines of the day and your scorecard. Still to come, weekend primer ahead. Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer will join us around 12:30. And we wrap up today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's talk about the good from the Minnesota Twins last night in a matchup against the Detroit Tigers at home. They pushed it into extras following a good start off the bat from Eddie Julian.
Oh my. Julian hits a high fly ball, deep right field and gone. Woo. Onto the plaza for Eddie Julian. Boy, did he need that. Did the Twins need that? Left on left home run, and the Twins lead it 1-0.
Minnesota out to a good lead in the game. They eventually lost in extras 4-3. New record for Minnesota, 57-64. Here's Rocco Baldelli, who says he was pretty proud of his team's approach against one of the aces in the league, in Tarek Skubal.
What we didn't want to do was mirror the outing that he had against us the last time. We wanted to avoid over-aggressiveness. We wanted to see the ball and kind of recognize what he was doing before we just went out there swinging. In the first inning, we go out there, we had four at-bats, whatever it was. Good swings, good at-bats, working them. No, I was impressed with that.
And that's Twins manager Rocco Baldelli. They take the loss yesterday. New record is 57-64. Other finals, Cubbies lose in Toronto 2-1. Cleveland wins at home against Miami 9-4. And Arizona all over the Colorado Rockies in Denver. That final 8-2. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, about an hour away from the Cubs taking on the Pirates at home at Wrigley. That's a 1:20 start time on Major League Baseball Network. Other matchups tonight, Brewers at Reds, Braves at Guardians, White Sox at the Royals, Yankees at Cardinals, Diamondbacks at Rockies. Twins will be in action against the Tigers, 6:30 pregame, 7:10 the start time tonight. You can listen right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. NFL preseason football returns tonight. It'll be a shorthanded Atlanta Falcons against the Tennessee Titans, 6 o'clock on NFL Network to start us out. And then the Kansas City Chiefs at the Seattle Seahawks later on tonight, 9 o'clock on NFL Network. And Chris Canty doesn't understand why anyone would be forecasting doom for Kansas City anytime soon.
When did the first one end? Why would it be the last dance? Are we predicting that the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs moving forward after this year? Are we saying that they're done getting to the Super Bowl? That's the part that I don't understand. Like, when we had the last dance conversation around the Chicago Bulls, there was literally nothing after that 98 season. It was over with. I don't understand why this would be considered the last dance if Patrick Mahomes is only 29 years old. He's still got at least a decade of runway before he's going to hang it up.
And you think about accomplishments at that time of his career. One Tom Brady had three Super Bowl victories as well. Pat Mahomes right there. Couple losses, couple tough losses to elite defensive teams in Philadelphia and Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. But Pat Mahomes, plenty of runway ahead. Just 29 years old somehow, and that's bad news for Mahomes haters out there. Chiefs aren't going anywhere soon. I don't care if Kelce retires today to go on tour with Taylor Swift and the Swifties. I feel like the Chiefs are still going to be good. They're going to be a playoff team, a contender, if not the favorite in the AFC West, and a contender, if not the favorite for the big game at the end of the year. More football chatter now. Chris Canty a little bit further on a dark horse team. He likes the Houston Texans a lot more than most this year.
They got talent in their receiving court. They got talent in their backfield with Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and Damian Pierce. They've got talent.
That's
on the
a nice big three if healthy.
Exactly. They've
That's
got
a big
talent.
Hit healthy, though.
They've got talent in the skill position. Those dudes just got to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, if the skill guys stay healthy, and the offensive line gels, then the Houston Texans are a dark horse team to be in the AFC Championship game.
AFC Championship game.
Correct. You heard me right.
I'm happy to admit that I'm a nerd, and I'm going to show how nerdy I am right now on the show. The Houston Texans backfield is Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and they mentioned Damian Pierce, a guy that had a really strong rookie season, flashed a bunch as a former Florida Gator, played pretty well. But since that time, according to fantasy football players like myself, has been a pretty big bust. They haven't given him the football. They haven't trusted him. He has battled some injuries. But you get Nick Chubb, who is not only old, but dinged up and didn't have a lot of juice last year for the Cleveland Browns, didn't get brought back to Cleveland. But I'm going to give you something here. If you're about ready to lace it up and play some fantasy football this year and you're in a deep league, go ahead and Google the name. Thank me later. Woody Marks. He's going to be the second string running back in Houston this year. Probably beat out Nick Chubb for the job. Not to say Chubb will be cut, but I think at year's end, we're going to be talking about Woody Marks' contributions and the juice he has, the fresh legs he has, the tread on the tires that he has out of USC. Woody Marks, the name to know in that Texans backfield. Not Damian Pierce, and I'm not ready to completely write off Nick Chubb, but Woody Marks, a younger, healthier option for Houston this year. Regular season opener is going to be around the corner. Cowboys at the Eagles. And let's talk about those Eagles a little bit further. Chris Canty, never been a big fan of Nick Sirianni. And he says, despite the Super Bowl win, he's not buying Sirianni's job security for the long term in Philly.
It just depends on what we think the shelf life for a championship in Philadelphia is. And I don't know how long that is. Now, Nick Sirianni got a pay bump. He got a pay raise, contract extension. He earned that. I just don't think it's a fait accompli that he's going to have a lifetime contract being the Eagles head coach as long as Howie Roseman is the general manager.
So if I said to you 3 years from now, who's the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you're going to say, I don't know?
Based on the track record, don't we have to?
Well, so to be fair, the last time the Eagles won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson as the coach, 13-3, Nick Foles in for Carson Wentz. They battled the quarterback inconsistency, the injuries, drafting Jalen Hurts in 2020. The Eagles gave Peterson three more years, 9-7, 9-7, 4-11-1, and they let him go. So maybe if we're talking about Nick Sirianni, who's got a more bombastic, rough, sandpaper-like personality than Doug Peterson does, yeah, I would say it's not too unreasonable to suggest that maybe it is 3 years for Sirianni. What does the Super Bowl buy you? A lot of it's circumstantial evidence. Do you have a great roster? Do they play for you? Do they rally around you? Do they come through the adversity and go to bat for you as a coach? Or do you lose the locker room? It comes unbuttoned at the seams and it's a disaster. We'll wait and see. I would say 3 years. I would bet very likely Sirianni back, but not a guarantee moving forward. A lot depends on what the heck happens with the Eagles moving forward. And I'll tell you something right now. Don't think they're going to be disappointing anybody anytime soon. Lastly here from your scorecard, NASCAR race this weekend is at Richmond Motor Speedway, PGA Tour. Robert McIntyre, the name to know early on at the BMW Championship. Scoreboard update here soon. WNBA action tonight at 6:30. Fever will host the Mystics. 9 o'clock, Aces at the Mercury. And lastly here, gotta give credit where credit is due. A tremendous night, a fun night, and congratulations to Sioux Falls Little League and starting pitcher Maxon Snoozy. Snooze, you lose. If you watch the post-game interview, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He was fantastic last night on the mound for Sioux Falls Little League in a 2-0 win over Euclid Township out of Pennsylvania. Sioux Falls dancing into the winner's bracket. They'll play next on Monday night. Weekend off. Well-deserved. 6 o'clock. o'clock on ESPN. Opponent right now is to be determined. And it was a big night for Sioux Falls and a lot of people back home. I know in my household, we were glued to the TV. The peers of my kids are shining on ESPN. Amazing stuff for a group of 12-year-olds from the 605. Here's the final moment as Snoozy puts them to bed in Pennsylvania.
Mom and Dad, Brent and Amanda, all over this. Watching Max fire and ended with another strikeout. A complete game, 11K, one-hit gem.
Unreal stuff for Sioux Falls Little League. I know the reason that they won, and I'm going to say it out loud. It's those green and gold Packer-based uniforms. Not really. But really great stuff for Sioux Falls Little League last night. They're 2-0 winners against Euclid Township. They're moving on to the next round of the double elimination tournament. The opponent to be determined, 6 o'clock Monday night on ESPN. You can view the article, potential opponents, the bracket, and so much more. Got the article posted today at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Lastly here, the non-conference schedule is out for USD basketball. That slate will begin on November 3rd against Utah Tech at home in Vermilion. View that entire schedule at GoYotes.com. And lastly here, veteran guard Brandon Scherff, 5-time Pro Bowl selection, Iowa Hawkeye alum, has quietly retired and walked away from the NFL after 10 years. Scherff telling the Iowa Athletics website in a story posted last week, "It's been something I could never dream of. Sometimes I would tell my wife that she has to pinch me because I'm playing a kid's game, and being able to do it as a job is pretty amazing. Now having kids and being able to see them after games is absolutely wonderful. So I would say it's a dream come true, and I will forever be grateful to have had that chance." Scherff, 33 years old, part of Iowa's 2025 Hall of Fame class, will be inducted later this month. Fifth pick back in 2015, played 7 years in Washington, won All-Pro nod in 2025 Pro Bowls, played with the Jaguars. Job well done for Brandon Scherff. He's done after 10 years in the NFL. We'll get the break out of the way, come back with a little more weekend primer, more on the Michigan Wolverines, little hand slap of fines. It's a lot of money, but as we know, in today's day and age of big boy college football, you got vendors, you got people ponying up, you got donors coming into the defense of Michigan. No vacated wins. Also, no postseason ban. Those are the two big things you need to know from Michigan's penalties announced this morning. We'll dive right back into those and a weekend primer coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime. Momentarily, we're talking with Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer. The Jayhawks will be in town as part of the ABCA First Serve Volleyball tip-off event to the season held in conjunction with Lincoln, Nebraska. Sioux Falls will join the party on Monday, August 25th. Pair of matchups coming your way that night. You can grab your tickets, grab more info at Sanford, the Sanford Pentagon box office or on Ticketmaster right now. The coach will join us here momentarily around 12:30. First things first, though, the big news. The Milwaukee Brewers have earned their fans free cheeseburgers. Technically free hamburgers. Save the cheese. For the third time in its history, George Webb Restaurants will make good on their promise of giving away free hamburgers as part of a longstanding promotion to celebrate the Brewers winning 12 straight games. The free burger giveaway, if you want to take time off for it next week, will start on Wednesday at 2 p.m. and go on Wednesday until 6 p.m. at all 23 of the restaurant's locations throughout Wisconsin. If you're scoring from home, I've done the work for you. The closest George Webb location is at 645 East Wisconsin Avenue in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. It is still to the east of Madison. It's quite the drive, but if you're a Brewers fan and you want to partake, there are 23 locations. That's the closest one to the 605 for free hamburgers next Wednesday from 2 to 6 Central. Big stuff there from Milwaukee. Speaking of Milwaukee, free agent forward Amir Coffey has agreed to a one-year deal with the Bucks. Sources told ESPN Shams Charania yesterday. 28-year-old spent his first six NBA seasons with the Clippers and now signs on with Milwaukee as of Thursday. And lastly, we touched on the cheaters from Ann Arbor in hour number one. Let's go right back to it here with another round of the details, if you will. The size of the fine that Michigan is getting today is not really actually known. Could eclipse $30 million, which of course in donor money and charitable donations to football programs, probably a little splash in the bucket here as Michigan retains their 2023 national title. Michigan retains every other win during that period. They also don't have any sort of postseason penalties. They're not going to be banned from the Big Ten title game or banned from a bowl game or banned from the CFP for this. They are going to suspend their coach, Sharon Moore, one additional game, the opener of the 2026 season. And Moore is sitting out two games self-imposed banned this year. But regardless of all of this, I'm going to say it out loud again. I don't know if this is severe enough. If you look at certain threads out there, people documenting what actually happened, what we know happened, the destruction of evidence, the deleting of text messages, after which the NCAA put out a, hey, keep all your evidence. We'd like to do an investigation here, please. There was a lot of not right stuff going on in Ann Arbor. Admission of guilt, we could argue that. Is this out of bounds and unlike any other things that any other program has done? We don't know. This is a first of its kind case. Advanced scouting, Connor Stallion, somebody that they pretended not to know. Who is that? Who the heck is that? I don't even know that name, but I gave him a game ball one time. It's all fishy. In Ann Arbor, it's not good. And frankly, glad they got some sort of punishment, a big admission of guilt, but they're not going to get an asterisk next to the title game, at least publicly. But privately, a lot of people out there saying, you remember that Michigan title in 2023? Yeah, it was a little bit fishy there. Would they have won regardless? Maybe. We'll never know because they were doing something fishy behind the scenes, at least in the lead up to that season. We'll take the break, come back, talking ABCA, first serve, all those penalties for Michigan, a laundry list of punishments and sanctions available at ESPN.com. We're talking ABCA first serve tournament here in Sioux Falls. Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer joins us next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
Overtime is unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday afternoon edition of Overtime, just a little bit past the noon hour, wrapping up the show here shortly with the good, the bad, and the ugly. But before we go, let's talk a little bit more about this ABCA first serve event coming your way in just over a week here in both Sioux Falls at the Pentagon and down the road in Lincoln, Nebraska. The action begins on Friday, August 22nd. We'll wrap up on Monday, the 25th, 5:30 start time for Kansas and Penn State, 7:30 for game two, match two of the night between Minnesota and Texas A&M. Joining us now on the ESPN hotline is the man that's leading the Kansas volleyball program. That's head coach Matt Ulmer. Coach, welcome into the show. How you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. We're very excited for this event to come in our neck of the woods after down there with our southern neighbors in Lincoln. What does it mean to you and the program to have the opportunity to get the season going in such a marquee event and also with other marquee programs in tow?
Yeah, I mean, this is my first year at Kansas and want to make a splash and get the players to understand just what it means to try to be a championship-level team. And you have to be in big events in great atmospheres like the one we're going to have in Sioux Falls and go play against the best teams. And Penn State is, you know, the defending national champion. So I'm just really excited for the combination of being able to play Penn State in Sioux Falls.
And certainly a big event on the way, the ABCA first serve. It'll be Monday, August 25th here for our purposes in Sioux Falls at the Sanford Pentagon. You can grab your tickets right now. Sounds like a great back-to-school gift for yours truly out there or anybody out there with the kiddos as well. Ticketmaster.com and also available at the Sanford Pentagon box office. Let's talk about the opportunity in Sioux Falls. We talked a little off air. You've never been to the Pentagon before. What have you heard? Have you heard anything about the Pentagon or your time down in Lincoln, what you expect down there?
I have not been to the Pentagon. I've heard it's an amazing, again, amazing environment, amazing place to play. I think our Oregon men's basketball team was there, and I know that they had a great time as well when I was there. But, no, we're really looking forward to it. And then bringing Brent Kirsch home is exciting for us from Sioux Falls. And so I know we're going to have a lot of Kansas fans in the crowd, which will be great. And then, yeah, to be a part of the event also in Lincoln, you know, we're going to play Vanderbilt. It's their first match ever as a program recently. I think that'll be a really fun contest. Again, another sold-out crowd or great atmosphere. And I'm just looking forward to getting this thing going.
And certainly a unique position for you, Coach, coming over after a long tenure at the Oregon Duck program to lead Kansas volleyball. Talk to us a little bit about some of the names, the personalities on the roster that you'd like to highlight. Who are some key contributors that'll be back this year for the Jayhawks?
Yeah, so the three that the conference chose to be on the preseason team, I think, are good places to start. Jovana Zelenovic from Serbia, 6'7", opposite, who hits the ball very hard, very talented player. I think she's ready to make her mark. Reese Patak, who is the reigning conference freshman of the year, I think can have an All-American season. Chris Klein, coming with me from Oregon, is a really talented setter, you know, that is looking to have an All-American year as well. We have great depth, and we have a lot of battles going on in the gym. But I think those are three people that you're going to notice.
Talk to us about Bryn Kirsch's work there on the roster. Obviously, Sioux Falls native is going to be the favorite daughter that night in the gym. Of all the fans, what do you like about her game? How has she progressed since you've started on the job?
She's just fearless. I love her tenacity. I love how she competes. She's a great defender, hard-nosed kid, really tough. You know, never takes a day off. You know, just a great teammate, too. And she's always hustling and it brings grit to your team, and I think if you want to be a championship-level team, you have to have that. So she's a great example for that.
Kansas Jayhawk volleyball going to be in action as the number 14-ranked team in the country in the opener. They get Vanderbilt on Saturday, the 23rd of August, down in Lincoln as part of the AVCA first serve, and conclude their portion of this this event up here in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon. It'll be a 5:30 start time, match one of the night against defending national champion Penn State. Very excited to continue our conversation with new head coach Matt Ulmer down in Lawrence. Let's talk about keys to a strong season. New job, new personality, some familiar faces in the works. But what do you kind of gauge as a few keys for this team to finish this whole thing off pretty darn strong this year?
Yeah, I think just consistent growth. We have, like you said, so many new pieces, and plus our staff is new. So trying to figure out what a roster looks like, what a lineup looks like. We only have two players returning that had significant playing time last year. So it's a big change. You know, but we have lofty goals, and we're still going to be trying to compete for championships. So trying to figure out what that looks like, and then growing each and every day, you know, so that December we're playing our best ball when the Final Four comes back to Kansas and Kansas City. So, you know, just hoping that we can continue to grow and be our best selves at the end.
Coach, it's not lost on me the etiquette of not looking beyond any opponents. You guys have Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday, but I got to ask you to look forward just a bit to help out our fans here. What do you expect to see out of Penn State? What makes that program and this year's team so darn special and challenging to go against?
Well, their coach is just one of the best. So, you know, Katie's amazing. And I think, you know, a big key to their success last year was their backcourt play. You know, just great defense, really good, nice job in service team. Obviously, Stark is a setter, as a national freshman of the year, is just an amazing talent and a great leader. And then you had Kennedy Martin, who transferred in from Florida, who's maybe the best or one of the best point scorers in the game right now. So I think there's just a lot that you have to deal with there. It'll be a great challenge for us, and I know we're looking forward to it.
The AVCA First Serve event officially begins on Friday, August 22nd, down in Lincoln, Nebraska. Huskers, obviously a part of this. They got two games against Pittsburgh and Stanford. Kansas Jayhawk volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer, his program's got Vanderbilt on Saturday, August 23rd, and they'll take part of game number one right here in Sioux Falls at the Sanford Pentagon on Monday, the 25th, against Penn State, Minnesota, and Texas A&M in game number two. Should be about 2 hours apart, 5:30 and 7:30. The projected start times a week from next Monday. Coach, we have a lot of cool events come here to Sioux Falls at the Pentagon in particular, some basketball openers with marquee programs from sea to shining sea. And I always like to give coaches an opportunity to sell yourself to the fans. Why should Sioux Falls residents and nearby residents root for Kansas a week from Monday? What makes the Jayhawks special? What makes the program special? We talked about the Sioux Falls tie-in, but give me something else about the Jayhawks and a reason why we should root for the blue and the red and the white a week from Monday.
So I think more importantly than Kansas, it's more about women's volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this tournament is. It's a chance for us to get our sport out there. It's the fastest growing sport out there. It's the most participating sport for females, you know, in high school age. It's booming. You know, the ratings are higher than ever. We're selling more tickets than ever. And now you see the pro leagues coming in. So it's just a really exciting time to be a part of women's volleyball. You're going to have four great teams that are going to be in Sioux Falls, and I really hope everybody wants to come out and watch all four and cheer for them all and just cheer for great volleyball. What you'll notice from Kansas is we're going to play really, really tough defense. We're going to control the ball really well. We're going to have a lot of personality doing it and have a lot of joy in what we're doing. So, you know, hopefully everybody enjoys that piece. But just more in general, it's going to be about coming out there and supporting the event and supporting the teams and the sport.
That's a great answer there. Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer, formerly at Oregon, first year down in Lawrence, and an opportunity to begin at year number one in Lincoln. Game number two up here in Sioux Falls at the Sanford Pentagon. Coach, we're looking forward to hosting you. Best of luck this season, and thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, we can't wait. Thank you so much.
And it's a big showcase indeed for the sport of women's collegiate volleyball. We got spoiled last year to officially begin the men's college basketball season here with the opening day showcase. That is back with the opening day marathon coming up this fall at the Pentagon, also held in conjunction out west in North, or out to our east in North Carolina. But in addition to that, we've got the volleyball AVCA first serve, and it's in between Lincoln and Sioux Falls. Four matches, if you will, in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon Monday, August 25th. You want to reward your kiddo for a great summer? How about you grab your tickets right now? Sanford Pentagon box office or at Ticketmaster.com. You can find out the schedule, more information, AVCA.org. That's AVCA.org right now. We're back to round out and wrap up the day and the week of the show coming up next on Overtime on a Friday. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly as we say so long to the work week and hello to the weekend. That's coming up next on Overtime.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Just finished up a great chat moments ago. Kansas volleyball head coach Matt Ulmer, the Jayhawk program coming to town next Monday, a week from Monday, the 25th of August for the AVCA first serve events at the Sanford Pentagon. You can grab your tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com or the Sanford Pentagon box office. It's time now to round out and wrap up the day and the week of the show. By the way, enter the Friday Parlay right now on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. That's been posted for about an hour. We got about a baker's dozen entries already. You could get in your best bets for the weekend with the Friday Parlay right now on Twitter. Let's dive right in, shall we, to a week-ending edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, we got great news to get to off of the jump, but you can elevate your outdoor living experience just in time for things to continue to heat up and then quickly cool down, we hope, for the month of September. Perfect fit patio pavers, outdoor living like no other are all possible with a trip and an assist at Hardscapes Outlet. Check them out and plan your next great project successfully today at hardscapesoutlet.com or visit any of their three Sioux Empire locations. But not good news to start. We got great news to start. I called for this earlier in the week, and it's almost like people are listening to me. I'm not going to take any credit for this, but this is really, really good news. Three players involved in a federal gambling investigation right now. The NBA and its Players Association said this week that they support further limitations on certain types of bets to reduce the risk of manipulation and combat athlete abuse by gamblers. It is about time. Here's the quote from an NBA spokesperson. Protecting the integrity of our game is paramount, and we believe reasonable limitations on certain prop bets should be given due consideration. Any approach should aim to reduce the risk of performance manipulation while ensuring that fans who wish to place prop bets can continue to do so via legal, regulated markets. I told you earlier this week I might be a hardliner, straightliner, whatever mean thing you want to say. Prop betting is not cool to me. I think it just opens up a can of uncertainty, conflicts of interest, things of that nature, and also an opportunity for gamblers to further abuse players and athletes and coaches and staff for decisions made that affect their wallet and their addiction of gambling. I don't understand this really at all with the recent surge we've seen of gambling investigations, irregularities based on random prop bets of over or unders and rebounds in the third quarter of this game for this random player on the Toronto Raptors, etc. Whatever it might be, it ain't been pretty lately for the gambling world and prop betting in particular. Not the over under, not the spread of the game, not who wins and by how much, but in terms of, will this player meet this threshold? Will that player have more than three rebounds? This and that and the other. It's gotten a little bit too big for its britches. We've seen some abuse. We've seen some irregularities. We've seen investigations, suspensions, lifetime bans, what have you. It's ugly, and really great news that at least we're exploring and having a conversation, and it's starting in the NBA. Hopefully, we entertain that moving forward with all sports in the further regulation of sports gambling. Other news to get to, John Daly the second and Niall Shiles Donegan, I hope I'm saying that correctly, each won two matches Thursday at the Olympic Club to advance to the U.S. Amateur quarterfinals as more top-ranked players dropped out. Daly, of course, the son of two-time major champion John Daly, beat Nate Smith 2-1 in the morning in the round of 32 and then took care of Daniel Bennett of South Africa 3-2 in the afternoon in the round of 16. A senior-to-be at the University of Arkansas, Daly set up a match with Mason Howell, the 18-year-old from Georgia who qualified for the U.S. Open this year with rounds of 63-63 from the Atlanta sectional. Pretty cool stuff there for John Daly the second. And lastly here, the ugly news to get to. This is continuing to be a bad trend across all sports, and football getting bitten pretty darn hard by a string of robberies, burglaries, whatever you want to call it. Current and former pro athletes continue to be targeted by thieves. Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com with the latest news. According to Michael Shapiro of the Houston Chronicle, Hall of Fame receiver, former Texan standout Andre Johnson recently was the victim of a burglary. Among other things, his Hall of Fame ring was stolen. Andre Johnson is my brother. Rapper and Houston native Little Kiki said on Instagram, he's the first Houston Texan Hall of Famer, dedicated his life here, his career here, and he also resides here as a Houstonian. That makes it so much more important. We're family, and this is a family message. Over the weekend, somebody broke into his home, took some items that represent his legacy, represent his dedication, his work, his family. We need to recover that and get that back. A lot of this has to do with the black market, if you will. The secondhand memorabilia, signed jerseys, Joe Burrow stuff turned up in that sort of deal as well. Really bad news here for Andre Johnson. Something as impactful as a Hall of Fame ring stolen from his home, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Hopefully that turns up sooner than later. Of course, I'm sure the Hall of Fame down the line will do the right thing and make an additional ring if need be. But really bad news there. Recent string of bad stuff in regards pro athletes and home break-ins, home burglaries, and thefts and things of that nature. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, a massive congratulations, all caps and underlined, to Sioux Falls Little League. 2-0 win yesterday in their Little League World Series opener, and they've earned a weekend off. And the name to know yesterday was Maxin Snoozy, one of many big playmakers on the squad. The pitcher last night, a one-hitter and 11 strikeouts in the win. Go get them, fellas. Job well done. You made us proud. And we'll be rooting for you on Monday, 6 o'clock, when your next game comes around. Go get them for all of South Dakota and for the Sioux Empire. That's our show. We'll talk to you on Monday when the next edition of Overtime rolls right back around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.